Hey everybody, this is Doc Mac from the Galloping Ghost Arcade out in Brookfield, Illinois. It is July 7th, 2016, and I am joined here today by none other than our Gamer of the Year, Pete Hahn.
Hello. Yes, I am here.
Hello.
Hello, like from MK2. Can you knock the guy in the sewer?
Oh, what?
Yeah. That's what I was going for.
Yeah. MK2.
It's a good game.
Great game.
Yeah.
We have a lot to cover here today. Again. As it's been nearly a month since our last podcast.
Yes, we did our last one on June 9th, so yeah, it's been almost exactly a month.
Wow. Time is literally, if you had asked me earlier today when the last podcast was, I would have thought it would have been about a week ago.
That's what it feels like.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot going on behind the scenes here at the Galloping Ghost Arcade. And it's...
Can you divulge any of it? All of it?
I'm sure some will come out throughout this podcast. But we got to jump into this just because there's such a cavalcade of things to cover.
Okay. All right, let's start with Monday Mystery Game Tournament winners then.
All right.
Cool. So we're going back all the way to the 13th of June. And that was the start of our Shmups Week. Which we'll cover in more depth later.
Yes.
But our mystery game for Shmups Week was Zero Wing.
Zero Wing. Very cool game.
Yes.
Developed by...
Tauplan, right?
Tauplan.
Yeah.
But released here in the States as under Williams.
Williams, that's right.
And really cool game. Very underrated, I think.
It is. I sneak back every now and then and try to get a game of it, but it's one of those, like, the pacing of the game is slow in the beginning, so you need to set aside a good 15 minutes to just get to the parts of the game where it starts getting hard.
Right.
So, like, the first, like, three or four levels, like, you know, they're not that hard, but they're long.
Right, right. It's, our cabinet that we have for it, it's a converted Joust cabinet, but it has the original marquee, original side art, so...
Yeah.
It's all really cool.
A lot of secrets to that game, too.
Yeah, I hear there's a...
Mysterious 10-up.
The 10X 10-up.
10X championship.
10X championship belt is in there somewhere.
Yeah. Nice. So Jamie had the top score. Jamie Tibbetts of Shmuppin.
What did he get?
495,240 was the top score on the Monday.
Very good.
We'll cover the individual game winners in the Shmups recap. But yeah, he had 495K on the first day of the game.
It's excellent.
Yep. Cool. All right. Next week after that, the 20th of June, we had Cruisin'.
Yes, which is released from Jellico.
What's it called on NES again?
City Connection.
City Connection, that's right.
And that cabinet, it has... it's just a standard conversion cabinet. Mm-hmm. It was originally a Moon Patrol cabinet. So,
okay.
But pretty cool game. I think we were having a lot of problems that day.
Getting a game working?
since Zero Wing, that was the start of issues with... we thought we had a couple of games lined up and ready to go, and then that was not really the case. Just stuff started failing. More so...
than normal?
More so than normal.
Great. So we had Peter Gore's surprise, surprise...
Our 10X champion.
He's been on a tear lately. So he won Cruisin' with a score of 391,500. He is. I think he's in the lead with, you know, for the new 10X.
Oh yeah, he's starting it out strong.
He's hanging on. Doesn't want to let go of that belt.
Understandably.
So next week after that, the 27th of June, we had King of Dragons. Is that Capcom?
That is Capcom. 1991.
Cool.
It's usually up. It's up to three player.
Mm-hmm.
We have ours set up for two player.
So it's like Knights of the Round in that way. You can do up to three player, but a lot of cabinets are set up.
Two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One day, hopefully, we'll get an original or a dead. I believe that one uses the same cabinet as like Mercs.
Yeah. Oh, the kind of triangle design.
Yeah.
So that game kind of reminds me of Knights of the Round in several ways, but it's got a lot of influence.
We'll definitely eventually be getting it back in that area next to Dungeons & Dragons. It'll, I think, reside nicely back there.
Yeah. So, Peter Gores again wins this one, 552,500. And as soon as he came in, he's like, oh, King of Dragons. I think I played this on Super Nintendo, and I think everyone walked away after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he I think he doubled the next closest score that day.
Wow.
So congrats to Peter for winning that one as well.
Absolutely.
So I think he's up 3-2. 3-2. The next couple guys are both at 1, I believe. So
cool. But it's early.
It is very still early. Very early. 3 is recoverable.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And then just this last Monday, 4th of July, we had Liberator. In the spirit of the holiday.
In the spirit of the holiday, we wanted to do... we went for the Liberty.
Yes.
With Liberator. Released from Atari in 1982. There's a great video on that by Todd Tuckey.
And I'll link that in the description video.
Very
cool.
So
everyone can check that out. But yeah, there's a... It's pretty rare, though, isn't it? Like, this game is
really rare. Yeah, according to Todd, there's only about 20 left. On KLOV, that seems to be pretty accurate, but some of those are just boards.
Right.
From what I've heard, there was 762 of them made, and most of them were just decommissioned. And
what does that mean? End up in the back of an alley somewhere? And
yeah, they just couldn't really find a good game to convert it to.
Okay.
So they would just...
Is ours original cabinet?
Ours is... yes, 100% original.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Everything on it is 100% original, dedicated.
Yeah, it's got. I mean, I'm not very good at trackball games in general, but it seems like a cool twist of Missile Command. Like, if you like Missile Command, I'm sure, like, try Liberator. You're probably gonna like it.
Yeah, it's definitely Missile Command. It's what you would expect for the next step of Missile Command to be. Very cool game.
Are you an alien, though, trying to attack the Earth? Because, like, you're shooting missiles at a planet.
I believe those are aliens that have taken over those planets, and you're just kind of
helping them out.
Liberating them.
Liberating them? Okay. Cool. All right.
James White took that one.
James, yeah, on the board.
144,790, which congratulations to James.
We'll be getting his trophy next Monday.
Yes.
For that.
Yes.
So yeah, we've got a little bit of a race now with Jamie and James and Peter all doing well.
It'll be interesting. Anxious to see. I'm very anxious for this upcoming Monday.
I know we've been talking about what it could be, so I'm curious as to what it's going to be.
Could be many things. I have a game that I would like to put up.
So you got it working?
I haven't even acquired it yet.
Oh, okay.
I have.
That's half the battle. It's like G.I. Joe.
It's honestly, the battle is changing. It's they're all out there, mm-hmm. no matter how rare.
Cool.
So, but join us on Monday. New Monday mystery game, 5 p.m.
Cool.
Back at our original regular time.
Yeah, we had an early one for the holiday.
Yes.
On the 4th. Cool. So that's all we have on for Monday mystery game that catches us up.
Yeah. Let's, I guess, jump right into the house high scores.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go back all the way to the 13th of June. We had Jamie Tibbetts put up a Philios 1cc. He said he 1cc'd it on the easy mode. I guess you can choose easy or hard. And I think there's less scoring potential, but I think it's just easier to get further progress in the game. So Jamie completed the game on easy.
That's excellent.
And that was part of the Shmups Week tournament.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I believe a lot of the extra points are probably from shooting down more bullets that are coming at you.
Like destroying the shots?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I believe the enemy patterns are pretty much the same. I don't think there's any additional enemies, but I know they're shooting more.
The one thing, like, I was wondering was, like, I don't think it loops, but on easy, but on hard it might actually loop. Because I've seen some of the scores on the Shmups form, and they're in the millions in the game.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think you have to choose, like, the hard path to get the second loop.
Huh.
So I don't know. I'll have to look into that. I'm actually not sure.
Cool. Yeah, I actually didn't know he won CC'd that on that. So that's congratulations to him.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. And then we have a new house high on Omega Race by Eric Dahlman, 167,300. He did that on the 14th of June. So that competition's heating up on that game. We've got James, who is just under that, around 150,000, and then Marco Garajski has around 130,000. So there's some really good competition in Omega Race lately.
Excellent. Great game.
Yep. Next up, we've got a new house high in Zero Wing. This was also part of the Shmups Week. Eric Kim put up 870,690 by way of a 10-up.
Yes. That'll do it.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll help so that.
He said he thinks he made it to the last level, or near the last level, but he said the whatever boss he was at kicked his butt, so...
Yeah.
You know, obviously not seeing it before, you're not going to get the 10-up every time. It's a very random thing that happens.
Right.
So if you're not prepared, you're going to get taken out.
Yeah.
I mean, bosses that you've never seen before is a rough way to play a game.
Sure, sure.
So yeah, he did get the 10-up, and I know there's regional differences, too. I was starting to look into this, but there's a couple things that aren't on the Williams one that are in the standard Tauplan release.
Yeah.
Like, there's the Tauplan mascot guys. They're hiding in the fourth level that if you suction in the right place of the background, you find them and you get 10,000 points.
Wow.
So there's that. There's actually a warp also in Stage 5 in the Tauplan one. So really? There's a lot of cool stuff, yeah. There's a lot of cool things about the game. But the U.S. one,
the Williams back one, a little bit.
Yeah, they changed a few things. They pulled out the extra stuff. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but like the suck-in feature, like where you pull them in with the tractor beam and then spit them out, like it's still good for covering your ship from being hit with another bullet, but when you send it out, it doesn't hit anything else. It just sends them off the screen.
Right.
In the Tauplan one, you can actually hit other enemies with another enemy. It's kind of cool. And it actually made me play the version on Genesis. I have the EverDrive, so I had to like, oh, I'm going to see what that's like. The Genesis version is really good.
Yeah.
I was really impressed by it.
All your bases are belong to us.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the rough translation. So, next up we've had a battle lately on Aliens. Julian Rodriguez had put up 358,900, which had actually, just a few days before... DJ Thorpe had beaten James's score, so there's been a decent amount of back and forth.
Yeah.
So DJ didn't hold on to it long. Maybe he'll come back and try later, but for now, Julian's got the top score on that one.
Such a cool game.
It is. It's one I've been thinking about, but I've got so many other things to play.
Sure.
Yeah. And then we're into the era of the... we had the System 11. If you're unaware, there's a forum of Shmups exclusive players. It's shmups.system11.org is their forum. But they have a bunch of great players, and they had organized a meetup here over the weekend, which would coincide with the ending of our Shmups tournament. So we had a bunch of their players here, one of which was Zerst, our T20 winner.
Yes.
And he did a lot of great scores when he was here. First of all, he put up a Battle Garega score of 9,469,400. He said that's not his best. He's done better. He's at home, he's done over 10 million, which your score then turns into a letter. And, you know, 10 million is like an A, and then 11 million is like a B, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But he was telling me some of the aspects of the game, and the rank system is very unique, and he was really, really happy that we kept the Zax ROMs on there, because otherwise you can't even play it competitively.
Right, yeah. Right.
Next up, another Zerst score, Dodon Pachi, 59,551,650. I believe he had barely edged out Fred DeHart's score of around 58 million. So we'll see if Fred can try getting that back soon. Zerst had also put up a Dodon Pachi 2 score of 588 million, and that was previously held by Jamie Tibbetts.
Yeah.
So
a lot of action on the Dodon Pachi and Don Pachi. And...
Everyone's been... on all those lately. Well, Zerst was on the two newer ones, but
right.
I know you know there's been a ton of action going for the Don ship of Don Pachi. Don Pachi. So then next we had on the 18th, Sean Cooley put up the first score on the new Fantasy Zone board.
Yes.
And no one else has put up a score on that, so Sean Quigley holds the house high on that. We'll see if it stands or if anyone wants to challenge it. 36,480 on Fantasy Zone. We had on the 19th, we had a 1cc of Dragon Blaze, which I believe we have video of, right?
Yeah, I was watching Steve Stewart was playing it, and it's just unbelievable watching him play that game. Dragon Blaze, we put on the floor, a personal favorite.
You like those dragon shmups, don't you?
I like a lot of shmups, but definitely...
Dragon Spirit, Cyvern, this one, you're all like all the dragon ones. There's something with you, those dragons.
I do like the dragons.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll see if I can find the video. I was told it was recorded, so maybe we can get that on YouTube.
Yeah,
so, it's. He
knows that game.
Yeah, it's obvious by that score. Yeah, I think he doubled the next score on our board.
Yeah.
Do you know how far he got in the second loop?
It
loops, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't even remember.
Okay.
It was so long ago.
Okay. Yeah, that was 19th. So yeah, that was a while ago. It was 2-3 weeks ago. And then we have a few more scores from Zerst. We have a Gradius 3 score of 235,090. He edged out Brian Schillo and then upped his score after that. So I think Brian Schillo had around 180K.
Yeah.
And then Mazinger Z, Zerst put up 1,183,300. I think Tim Vanderkolk held that before.
Did he?
If I'm not mistaken, yeah. So yeah, we'll see if he wants to try to reclaim that from it. We have a new house high in on our Zaxxon machine by Joe Durnovich, 403,550. That's crazy good on Zaxxon.
Yeah.
Holy cow, that's a hard game. Congrats, Joe, to getting our new house high here. And then the day we put out Blaster, we did a one-day tournament for that, didn't we?
No,
we just did the...
It was
just to put it on the floor?
Yeah, there was...
Everyone run it?
We'll get into the Blaster announcement in a little bit.
Cool. Well, I'll skip over that one then. All right. So then we have the Don, Matt Walters, increasing his Don Patchy personal best, 18,404,980. He did that on the 21st. Congratulations.
I hear he is coming in tonight, and Fred DeHart is already here.
Really? Okay.
I think they're both working on that tonight, so...
Hmm. No Tibbetts, I see. No, I'm just kidding. I like how they gave Tibbetts the third place little ribbon.
Yeah.
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 I like the showmanship. It's kind of fun. All right. So then we have James upping his house high on cruising. He didn't win the Monday mystery event, but he ended up putting up a higher score than the mystery event a few days later. 449,900 for cruising.
It's all about those balloons.
I don't know how the scoring works on that game.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Hammer Away, the Sega prototype shmup, Mozzie's has put up a new top score of 228,100.
Excellent score.
He did loop the game, and I don't know how far I made it after that. I watched his video, though, because that's when we have to record, because there's like one-up loops you can do in that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, he ended up taking up that one, and the video's on YouTube if anyone wants to see it. It's on our channel.
Excellent.
We have also a new house high on Missile Command by Jason Gola, 105,000 and 15 points. That number looks a little weird there. Looking at my spreadsheet here. We've had a little bit of back and forth on Iron Man Ivan Stewart Super Off-Road. Peter Gores had lost this score within the last week, but then he reclaimed it just the 29th. He's got 1,178,000 on... Ivan Stewart Super Off-Road. But yeah, he lost that and then reclaimed it within a week, so it's cool to see.
Yeah.
He's like, nope, that one's
very
fine.
Fun game. Very fun game.
And Seth did fix the middle wheel, so everyone can play three-player on that. Before,
excellent.
Just the two wheels on the outside were the ones that were working great, but now they all are. We have a new Donkey Kong kill screen and house high.
Yes.
By Dan Doc, 915,200. He edged out Tanner's score by like 1,000 points. It was barely there.
Yeah.
But he did it. He beat the score and kill screened it.
Congratulations on that one. That's a huge accomplishment.
It is. It's a couple hour game there. So.
Yeah.
We have a new world record on The Punisher by Daryl Mitchell Jr. 4,807,800. Done on the 30th of June. He's been working on that a while. Like, he comes in and plays mostly that game. He's starting to come in more regularly, so we'll see if he ends up being more of a regular, but he really likes the Capcom beat-em-ups. We'll see if he puts any other scores up on some more beat-em-ups.
Very cool.
We have a... you know what? We talked about tracking Killer Instinct, and we have a new high score on Killer Instinct, because now we're tracking it properly. Before, we just looked at the scoreboard, and whatever name you were on the entry of the scoreboard, then we took that, but now we're tracking it more officially. We have to record your playthrough, and we tally up your points against the computer because it doesn't carry over from opponent to opponent. So Armando Flores has 6,680,345. He did that on the 30th as well.
Yep.
We have Mike McCarthy, our very own employee here, put up a new score on Block Seed, 210,787.
Great score. That's
Did he beat his own score?
He held that before. That was just a score increase of his own.
Oh, okay. Just putting it out of reach of everyone else.
Yeah. All right.
That's cool.
And then you had on Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting.
Yep.
Won 1,323,400 points.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I was happy to get that house high back. Yeah. I had beaten Chris Tang's score like a week or two ago, but I've been slowly like trying to improve that score, and I think I want to take a run at that world record.
Oh, I can't wait, man.
That's not going to be a hard score to beat. It's over 1.4 million.
And who has that?
It's a gentleman by the name of Brian Ferris. It's stood since 2003 or 2004. It's a Twin Galaxy score.
Yeah, that's a very impressive score to be going after.
Yeah, it's a little bit of luck, and fighting game scores are just different because you're like manipulating the AI. So it's like, yeah, it's a fun score to go for, but it's also a frustrating score because there's like, okay, is this barrel going to take two hits to break or just one?
You know? Right.
And it's
right.
Not something you can control.
Well, you just need to play it enough until everything lines up just perfect.
The stars have to align, yeah.
And then you'll have that world record.
Yep. So hopefully sometime soon I'll get that. I you know what I did do is I ended up buying a board for it, so I might play it at home a bit more.
Cool.
Because it's one of those where like I wanna do it, you know, for the arcade platform. It's not really the same on MAME. I mean, I could play it on MAME to practice, but it'd be nice to hold the arcade title.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. So that does it for all the new house highs.
Very cool. Congratulations to everybody. And as always, we do all of our score tracking through Orcade. Mm-hmm. AURCADE.
It's free.
It is.
Sign up anytime you come into the arcade. You don't have to put up a house high. It could be just whatever you want to put up, just so you know where to start from next time. Just it's personal score tracking. It's compare against your friends. It's compare against your enemies. It's it's, you know, for your enjoyment, for your, you know, whatever you want it to be. It's whatever you want it to be.
Very cool. Very cool.
Cool. So we have the Shmup Week that just ended. Well, not didn't just end. Ended a few weeks ago.
Yep.
But we can just go over the individual results. And I have those pulled up. So the first game of the tournament was Alcon. And we had Zerst win that one with a score of 522,180. And he also made it into the top three. He's on the card now behind Martin. I think it's Martin, him, and you are on the card now for the top three.
Am I still on the card for
you? You're still on the card, yeah.
Wow.
Put all those guys to shame in the tournament.
That's...
years ago.
That's... somebody better get on that.
That's a challenge?
Low-hanging fruit there.
Okay. You heard it from Doc. His own score, he's calling low-hanging fruit. Next up, Darius Gaydon. One of my personal favorites. I was happy this was in the tournament.
Yes.
A lot of people thought it was a curveball. But I don't know. It's a pretty straightforward game. Zerst won this one. He did end up doing a one credit clear, 6,565,810. So he's second on the card now. I didn't lose that score. I have a little bit better score than that. That's all right though. I'm sure he could get my score if he tried for a while. But I'm sure he was just happy to once he see it. And he basically took everyone out of the running for the game. The next closest score was 1.8 million.
Right.
So he won that game pretty soundly in the tournament. Next up, we have
Dragon Spirit.
And Zerst won that one as well, 149,850. And I think the next closest score was Mozzie's, at 106,000. I think he's put up a better score, but just outside of the tournament. He's got the house high currently, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, next up, another favorite of mine, Nemesis. We had Brian Schillo take that score for the tournament of... He had 459,700, which was beating the first loop. And I think he got to the second stage of the second loop right before the second boss. So he's getting really close to my score lately.
Stay frosty on Nemesis.
I don't know. There's too many things going on. Like, I don't know if I can stay sharp on that one right now. I might have to just let it go for now and get back to it later. Because I know Jamie's looking at that one, too.
Yeah.
I told Jamie, because he knocked Peter Gores off that card recently in the Shmups Week event, and I'm like, hey, do you see Brian's score? He's getting close. He's like, you should be worried about me. I'm like, oh, I see how it is. Okay. So, yeah, I think he's shooting for beating two loops of it. So if you can beat two loops of it, I'm sure you can probably score over 700,000, 800,000.
Yeah.
So hopefully you can get that. And then, of course, we already talked about Jamie getting Philios. He did the 1cc on that. He won that game in the tournament, 325,570. We had Jamie also win Super Space Fortress Macross, 3,046,100. Congrats to Jamie. And he won Terra Cresta also. And thanks to Seth for getting this working for the tournament. This wasn't working before the tournament, but I really wanted to include it. But Jamie scored 186,300. And then Zero Wing, we had Eric Kim with his 10-up win ten that up one. 10-up victory. 870,690. So those are the individual game winners, which in the overall standings ended up tying Jamie and Zerst. His real name's Justin, but he goes by Zerst on the forum, so everyone just calls him Zerst. So we're going to see if he's going to be down to come back into town sometime. He's from out of state, so maybe at some point they can square up and see if there's an ultimate winner at the end.
Cool, cool. Congrats on a great tournament. I think everybody had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, definitely. Like I was really, I think I wasn't surprised, but I'm really happy Eric Kim did well. He's been coming out more.
Yeah.
You know, he's graded a lot of different shmups. You know, of course, he's got the top score on Macross. He's got the top score on Zero Wing. You know, he's got a lot of scores. He's got Raiden 2, so I was happy to see him do well.
Absolutely.
All right, so that's all for the shmups event. Thank you, everyone, for participating in that one. So we do that one every summer. And next year, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, so just a couple event reminders. We have NJ GamerCon coming up in 2 weekends from now.
That is coming up very quick. We went to the last one. I don't even remember when that one was. Do you? It was 6 months ago?
Was it? I thought it was more like a year ago. I don't remember.
I don't. I honestly, I couldn't even tell you. It's but it was definitely a lot of fun.
What is its focus? It's like not just arcade stuff, right?
They do have a there was an arcade room.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was the vendor hall, which had a lot of cool stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Richie Knuckles stopped out last time.
Cool.
Todd Tuckey was there.
Nice.
We were there showing Dark Presence. And,
but we didn't bring any games to play, right? Just we just had Dark Presence.
We only had Dark Presence there.
Okay.
That was we go. The guy who runs the show has been really cool about coming out here,
yeah.
And he's definitely wants to grow the scene out there and get a lot of people excited for arcades. And it's really a fun show. So we want to go out and help however we can. So we're going in full force this time.
So we're
going
to be showing Dark Presence and the other projects that we showed at MPC?
Dark Presence will definitely be there. We're still trying to figure out some logistics of what we can bring.
Okay.
But Brian Colon's coming with us.
Nice.
Jeff Lee is coming with us.
Cool.
Daniel Piscina is coming with us.
Oh, that sounds like a rowdy group.
It's going to be pretty crazy. There's going to be... We've not done... this is our first out-of-state show with those guys.
Okay.
And I'm thinking it's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Our guys have been working super hard. We have Will, Jeremiah, and Brandon. Nick, and Milo all working on Dark Presence. And then currently Phil's been helping with Brian's game, doing some 3D stuff and animation and... then Brandon's been working on some hardware aspects for Fish in a Barrel, so everybody's working really hard, and hopefully it'll be a really great show.
Cool.
So come join us out in New Jersey for New Jersey Gamer Con on the
23rd
and the 24th. Wow,
it's a couple of weeks away. I will link the site in there if you're local or are going to make the trip. You can already buy the tickets online.
Yeah,
so you might want to look into that. Speaking of buying tickets online, we have
yes.
T20 coming up. But it's not until October, but don't let that fool you. You can pre-register now.
I would definitely... There's going to be some cool stuff that we might do for some of the early pre-registration people. There might be some special cool bonuses that we give away.
So are we going to do on-site registration, or is it going to be pre-registration only? Have you decided that yet?
Currently, I'm not 100% sure yet. We'll know probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the end of before the tournament if we're going to do anything like closed registration.
Okay, and the tournament's coming up in October. It's 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, so it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes.
Four-day event, and it's 20 games that are a mystery.
Yes.
If you don't know. If you didn't come to T20 last year, it was pretty awesome.
Five new games added to the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. We had a lot of industry people here. We had a lot of great players here.
Walter Day was here.
Yeah.
Billy Mitchell was here.
We had players come from out of the country to play here. We had Martin Bedard here.
Martin Bedard.
That was pretty cool.
John McAllister.
Yeah. So it's definitely recommended if you're, you know, a fan of the industry, or, you know, want to talk to your fellow gamers, or talk to the, you know, professionals that are really good at these games. They'll be here.
Yeah. So definitely our big tournament of the year. We're going to have cash prize for it. We haven't announced the amount yet, but it's...
substantial.
It, well,
depends on what you consider substantial.
But
it's enough to buy you a nice dinner.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
If I don't think there'll be anybody
disappointed
with that dollar amount that we end up with.
Cool. Well, we'll probably do a separate announcement video for that, right?
Yeah.
All
right. And also the belt.
You're doing a belt for it?
Yeah.
T20 belt.
The T20 belt.
If you combine two 10X belts, will it make a T20X belt?
No. There's I can't wait to see if somebody can unify
any of the belts.
The belts.
That'd be kind of cool.
So I think those are going to be our three big belts.
Yep. All right, that's awesome. All right, now
we are also doing a secondary tournament.
Yes, it's good. It's like, is it like a mystery as well, like what that's going to
be? Yeah, I'm kind of still bouncing around between, should it be a manufacturer's tournament, should be a genre tournament.
Just random mystery game tournament?
There'll be some theme to it.
Okay.
But definitely going to be a fun time. So don't miss it. We're hoping to have it in our new area.
Yep. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We have a dedicated area just for the tournament.
Yes, that is the goal.
All right. Excellent. So recently we've had a couple events. Last weekend we had Pixel Blast Arcade opened up in Lisle.
Yes.
And we were both there.
Yes, we were.
I remember.
I vaguely remember. great opening. Huge congratulations to Trickman Terry and Paul.
Yep.
Those guys worked so hard to get that place up and running in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
They had
their Facebook post had like paint on the wall, and they're open a week later. Like,
yeah,
there was no games in there a week ago.
It all fell together very, very quickly. Definitely, the place looks great. We really want to make sure that if you like going here, definitely go check them out.
They're straight down Ogden. Like, it's really easy to get there from here. It's down Ogden in like two turns.
Yeah,
just straight west. So
out in Lisle.
If you're west of us, it'd be easier. Definitely check them out. They've got a Facebook page, and I'll link that in the description of our video.
I have to admit, I was pretty jealous of their Street Fighter II monitor.
Oh, it was perfect.
It was. It's like.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really nice it's monitor. Like,
it was crisp, and the colors were nice, and everything.
Yeah.
It's the Hyper Fighting. It's the best. One of the best ones.
Yeah.
That and Grandmaster Challenger, the two best Street Fighters, no contest. Better than Third Strike.
Wow, that's a.
I'm just declaring
that's,
this.
That's an opinion. This. Sure, sure.
That's a valid opinion.
It's an opinion.
Yeah. I know you like Third Strike.
I'm a huge fan of Third Strike.
I think it's you and Eric Kim, the only two people that like
it. You know, game. I've been back on it a little bit lately.
You should challenge Eric.
I don't play Versus.
Oh, okay.
I like the score chase.
Okay. We'll see. If maybe Eric wants to go for that score.
That would be awesome.
Cool. We'll see. So then, getting back to past events, we had a event to launch Blaster on our floor.
Yes, Blaster. We put that out on June 18th, and what a cool game!
Great response. Like, people are like, "Oh my god, you have that!"
Well, it's the game itself is it's surprising. There's a Dura Mold version. Mm-hmm. Anything in a Dura Mold cabinet, which is a almost like a plastic vacuum form cabinet mm-hmm. type thing that Williams was using. And they did it for Bubbles and Sinistar. And
do we have any Dura Molds on our floor?
We do not have a Dura Mold.
Okay.
And they're super rare. Mm. And Blaster came out in a Dura Mold. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't think I've ever seen one in a Dura Mold. But that's actually supposed to be the most common for Blaster.
For Blaster, yeah.
There was also a sit-down cockpit version of it, similar to the Sinistar one.
Okay.
But there's also a wooden upright, which is...
the most rare.
It is... yeah. Well, the sit-down one might be more rare, but the upright one is the most sought-after one, I guess.
It's the coveted.
Highly coveted, considered a holy grail.
Nice.
I believe there's only one other known one out there. I could be wrong on that number, but... mm-hmm. If I am wrong, it's not wrong by more than one or two.
Wow.
And we have a huge, huge shout-out to Jeremy Fox of Prince Arcades.
That's right. I saw his story. He saved it from being turned into a multicade.
Yeah, he called me up and he's like, what's up with this one? And I'm like, yeah, I want that one.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to come here.
Yeah.
He's like, well, this woman wants to have it converted to a MAME machine. I'm like, no.
Yeah, that let's can't build happen. One for scratch.
Yeah. It's honestly, I had, and again, I had no idea that the wooden one was that rare. Mm. And Jeremy was telling me after it was here, he's like, oh, I started getting some outrageous offers for it.
Nice.
And
that about Jeremy, though, that he'll save the machine and build someone a machine from scratch so that a working, functional machine dedicated doesn't go out of the universe. Like,
absolutely.
You're gonna lose that forever. Now it's a multicade.
He's very good about that. Mm-hmm. He understands that these machines are like an original cabinet has value, right. And it's like you shouldn't just maim every cabinet you get. And there's obviously a lot of our cabinets, they've been converted, and it's like that was a whole thing that happened in
the
arcade scene.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And nothing's more satisfying than bringing one back. But to have a guy who sells machines, not just maiming them or putting in 60 and ones in a... like when he gets a game, he wants to bring it back.
Yeah.
And that's so cool.
That is.
That's so cool.
I like to see that. So yeah, thank you, Jeremy, for that.
Yeah.
All right, and then
also, we should point out, we were expecting Eugene Jarvis to show up for that event,
mm-hmm.
who Blaster is the successor, in a way, to Robotron.
Yes.
It
says the year is 2085.
Yeah, 2085, yeah. And the last human family has been...
deceased or whatever.
They're killed off, and this is what's going on now.
Yeah.
But Eugene and Larry DeMar, who... has been out here several times, and we had asked him to come out. Unfortunately, he had a previous engagement. Eugene just ended up not being able to make it, so we apologize to anybody that came out for that, and Eugene will be here again soon.
Cool.
Haven't had him out since the NARC event,
okay.
But we will definitely have him out again soon.
All right. And then next up we have Arena, which... there's a lot to say about this, isn't there?
Yes. There is a huge... this was... and I actually owe an apology on this as well. We had announced that we were going to do a live game launch at 5 o'clock on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. And it just never really materialized. And I know we had people waiting on that stream...
You had people in the store waiting to, yeah.
We had people in the store waiting, and I really have to apologize. We had a little bit of a mix-up. We had a documentary filming here all week,
mm-hmm.
and it made for a really tough week because the documentary was going to be... they weren't 100% sure what they wanted to cover. They wanted a lot of things to happen, and we kind of geared up for it, and then started talking about this project called Arena. which was an unreleased Gottlieb game from 1982. Was not on MAME. It was originally a game called Hexus, and then it evolved to be Arena, and then it finally evolved to be Wiz War, mm-hmm. and then it got canceled. And Wiz War was on MAME, but it's a different game.
Okay.
And so they're like, oh, we want to see this built.
So they wanted to see the whole process?
The whole process.
Okay.
Done in like 3 days.
Oh my God. All right.
And I really can't say too much on it. And I can't. There's so many people that were involved in it. It's Jeremy was involved in it, and Jeff Lee was involved in it, and Seth and myself and Doug Fox, and just so much went on in this 4 day filming or whatever it was. And they got a lot of interesting footage and saw a lot of really what it goes on behind the scenes here. And when we were about to do the big launch of it, they're like, would you mind not streaming it? And yeah. It was like, so we did record it, mm-hmm. But we'll probably do that whole launch all at the same time.
So when they release their video, we'll release ours type yeah. thing? Okay.
Maybe shortly after. Okay. Because it's again, we can't even say where it's airing yet, but it's a pretty substantial thing.
Okay.
So stay tuned for that.
Cool. So the game is here for people to play before then, though?
It is. Okay. And if you're here in person, ask me about it, and we'll definitely fill you in on a lot of things and give you a lot of the inside information if you're one of our dedicated listeners to the podcast.
Cool. Sounds good. All right. So that's...
One of the other things that we can talk about is we had that Qbert case.
Oh, the suitcase.
The suitcase. That which was cool. That... we have to give shouts to Vince over at Tokens and Tankards for putting us in touch with the owner of the Qbert case. And it was technically her mother's case, and then her husband had worked for Gottlieb. And that ties a lot into the Arena story, which...
That's crazy. It's like a puzzle coming together.
It all just fell into place.
Yeah.
And there's so much to it. There's pieces of it that, if it were, you can hardly believe how it all just came together in such a short amount of time.
Around the same time they were filming.
Right, right.
You couldn't script that, yeah.
You couldn't. Yeah. It just kind of was like, well, I don't know if we can get this. There's literally a stick I've never seen before. There are parts that I didn't have.
Nice.
And... it's stuff that you could, if you were looking for it, you would need a lot of time to find. And it all just kind of all came together.
Notsky.
Yeah, it was very fortunate. Very fortunate.
Cool.
So more on that soon. And we're very anxious. And again, I do apologize if people were here,
if you're waiting in the stream chat.
So, yeah. But please know that when that story gets told in its fullest, it will be quite the story.
Cool. I will look forward to it. I don't know much of what I'm behind the scenes, and I was here. So I was just across the
gap. There was a lot of running around.
Yeah.
And it was a very fast-paced week.
Okay.
So.
Cool. So that's all the events and announcements I have. You want to move on to Facebook questions?
Yeah. What do we got?
Okay. Cool. We've got Tony Tanner is asking, any thoughts on some fighting game tournaments? And there was a little bit of discussion... you know, about the weekly tournaments, which I think most people know about.
Yes.
But then there's, a few people looking to do tournaments, I think, on games, like, on the arcade floor, like actual fighting games. And, I think Norbert asked about doing one for Score, and I don't know how well that would work since, I mean, it works better in that you don't all have to be here at the same time, but you kind of lose that versus excitement that you get as well.
Absolutely.
So there's pros and cons to either way. What do you think about that?
It's one of those, originally, the first and second Shang Tsung's Fight Night were, or at least the first one, as I recall, was in all different games. It wasn't just Mortal Kombat.
Right.
I
think it was Killer Instinct, Samurai Showdown, like
all that. It was stuff. All over the place. Great it was, Revenge, we were yeah. going to do 24 hours of tournaments,
yeah.
and is the, it kind of evolved away from that as the actors started coming around, and it was turned more into celebrating Mortal Kombat. I would definitely, and we used to have Saturday night tournaments often in Street Fighter 4 and Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
MK9, that's like how the team was kind of formed.
It really was.
Yeah. Like I started showing up for those, you know, Mo was there, Aaron was there, and that's kind of how all we all connected originally. Yeah.
And that was,
yeah.
There was, that era has definitely changed. Like right. The Midwest fighting community, it's evolved quite a bit. And that in itself is a whole another podcast. And
yeah, it's definitely moved like away from actual arcade into more online, you know, like stuff. There's less people coming out. They go to tournaments, but they don't come out to locals and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for arcade floor tournaments, I would love to see some more versus fighting tournaments.
Well, you know what? How about this? If you would show up to a versus tournament on the arcade floor, if you would show up, then respond in the comments and say, yeah, I will show up if I have, you know, whatever, 1 week, 2 week notice, you know, to get there. Like, we would probably run out on a Saturday because that's the day most people can get here.
Yeah, it won't be in Mortal Kombat just because
that will save for that's coming. Fight night. But yeah, if I were to pick a few games just at random, like I would not be opposed at all to running a Saturday night tournament of like 3 or 4 different fighting games. Just every other Saturday night, we just pick a few different more to run them on. But if you would show up for that, let me know in the comments. And if enough people want to do it, I'll run it.
Yeah. And also, like, it's a fairly open and competitive scene here. Like, you can.
You can just ask me to play Grandmaster Challenge, and I'll play you a few games, you know.
Yeah.
Just ask someone to play.
Yeah. That's but yeah, we do want to get back to that. Again, I think right now it's just been there's so much going on that it's hard to, and there's so many different tournaments that we run that, like, we don't even get back to Konami Week within a year,
right.
Sega Week. It's problematic. There's always just so much going on here.
Yep.
Even the weeklies, after Evo, we might slow down on the weeklies a little bit. We're going to be doing some construction, and hopefully it's
going to lead to our new area, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we might eventually have to suspend some of the weekly event in the tournament area just because we got to get this expansion going.
All right, next up, I've got Stephen Lucas. I know we talked last time, the panel wants to go further on topic about the arcade industry. There was a question we were going to address later, but he's also asking, is there any plans for recruiting more arcade refs to cover other states in the country? And how would that work?
We are and have been helping add refs. Usually it starts with talking with the venue and seeing if they're interested in doing scoring. So much of it requires the venue to be...
They need to be on board. Not just on board. They need to be, like, they need to buy into the whole thing because it requires them to, like, we got to make sure their dips are correct. We got to make sure they're being fair with everyone.
Right.
It requires a kind of a big commitment, you know?
It is. Yeah. There's, well, in the weight of what they have to do, like, you look at the extents that we go to where we're recording stuff and streaming stuff, and even with the massive amount of stuff that we've added to the website with our board verification, like, you can literally see our board and our dip switch settings.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's the level of commitment of this is how our rules are set, and that's not an arcade standard yet, but we hope it will be.
Right.
We have to really stand behind our scores, and there is a lot to it, but it's less about reffing it's part of it is reffing the scores, but making sure that the settings and everything are 100% correct, and
that's getting the venue to buy into the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
They have to be on board first, and then it's a matter of, you know, getting set up.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're just now helping Pixel Blast and getting them set up, and there's another arcade that I'm actually now about 10 days behind schedule of contacting them and helping them get set up, but it is definitely great to see more places get involved with arcade.
Cool. Thoughts on the idea of virtual reality being the arcade 2.0, the way E3 is being pushing it? Like, I don't really see the same experience. Like, you're not physically next to another person in an arcade when you're in virtual reality. I don't think it's that comparable, but they want to sell it, so they're going to say that.
Sure, sure.
What do you think?
I don't really have any thought on it.
Have you used any of the VR devices? I've used the Samsung VR gear. It is pretty cool. Like, I've watched, like, Cirque du Soleil, like, performances on them and concerts on them, and there's some cool things you can do with them, but I don't think it's going to replace, you know, an arcade gaming. Like, gaming on them, I think, will be cool, but I don't see it. It's like modern games. They're totally different than arcade games.
For sure.
I just
don't
see them replacing arcade games.
Yeah, I haven't tried any of them, so I really couldn't voice my opinion.
Okay. Cool. Dan Iacovelli asks, how far has the expansion got since the new edition was added?
It's been a little slow. This next expansion, there's a couple ways it can still go down, where we now kind of have a deadline with T20 that something has to happen. Mm-hmm. Our production offices have to be gone at this point. I'm hoping that we'll actually be ahead of schedule and be able to get Shang Tsung's Fight Night in there maybe September. Maybe. But it is definitely going slow. As always, we are taking donations to help push that along. It is a major, major construction project. There's a lot of walls that need to come down.
A lot of paint.
A lot of paint, new carpet. It's all very expensive, and new electrical. So we are still running our fundraiser. We have our buckets up front, and thank everyone who has already donated.
Make sure to sign the wall.
Make sure you sign the wall if you have donated. I recently was talking with Jamie Tibbetts, and he donated the fundraiser but did not receive his hoodie yet. So we want to make sure. If you haven't received
any of the rewards,
please let us know. Mm-hmm. Just because we don't want that outstanding. Mm-hmm. So.
That also was tying into Nathan Phillips was asking any word on solidifying the date for the next MK night, which kind of goes along with that question, I think.
Sure. It's one of those, we get asked that every single day.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those, when we have a date, it will not be, if it's of interest to you, you will know it.
Yeah.
The big bat signal will go out, and
we'll put it on our Twitter, on our Facebook. Like, there'll be probably a video on our YouTube.
Many videos of it as we confirm the actors coming, and
you're saying hopefully September late?
I hope so.
Okay. But nothing solid yet.
Nothing solid yet. Okay. I've been speaking with Daniel Pacina and Philip Ahn. They were both here today. Was out for dinner a couple weeks ago, out with John Tobias and
cool.
Carlos Pacina and Daniel Pacina.
What does Raiden eat for dinner? I'm always curious.
Pizza. Sometimes cool. It's pizza.
Okay.
Cool. But yeah, it was really awesome. And all those guys will be back out for... Andy was there too, so it'll be really cool to have them all out again, and it'll definitely be a lot of fun.
Those guys are fun.
Yeah.
When they hang out, it's a good time. Eric Kim is asking about sudden death tournaments, one play, one score. I'd like to hear the pros and cons. Adds another dimension and more exciting to gauge a player's score out of the bat, you know, out of the gate.
And that's always been a really interesting thing to me.
Out-of-the-gate scores?
The out-of-the-box scores.
Yeah.
I remember back when we put up G.I. Joe, mm-hmm. that was actually the first game to me that it was like, it's like I want to know what everybody's skill level is on a game that they've never played. I remember Rocco and James White and like all the regulars here were here.
So just
one
game and done? Or was it just one game, the next person goes up, one game, the next person goes up?
It was... Everybody was kind of not watching the person play. It was just kind of like somebody playing. We were all talking, and we were recording the scores, but...
Because that's what happens on Mondays a lot. Like, the first person will play, and anything you can pick up, everyone's, like, watching like a hawk.
Right.
They're trying to pick up anything they can, so they can apply that to their run.
Maybe we'll do
a one and done.
A one and done. Maybe the Monday the unveiling will happen, and then we'll start kicking people off, so they can't watch.
You can't watch the person's tactics in front of them.
Right, and only people that are there get to submit a score in that particular tournament.
Oh,
maybe cool. We could have something really cool.
All right.
Maybe they'll get let into the vault for a day to play some stuff that they won't see for a while.
Just let them in one day. We kick them out. Okay. Yeah. Eric Kim is also asking ideas, ways to include more casual players to take part in tournaments.
That's always a challenging thing.
It's super challenging. I mean, people hear tournament and they're like, no, I'm not good. You know, they throw up their hands like, I bow to you, James White. You're gonna kill me anyway. So
it's the caliber of players, the caliber of the regulars here is just so high that
it's intimidating.
It is. Yeah. It is. Like, even you see it even on Monday. It's like, oh, I don't want to go play that. And that's amongst some of the regulars. It's like, I don't want to submit a score. I'm just gonna lose anyways.
Or
whatever.
Yeah. It's like, like just an example. Peter Gores. Oh, I played this on Super Nintendo. Oh, I don't even want to submit a score. You know.
Right.
You saw that a lot.
Right. Yeah. And if a lot of people they've got to lead by example. Like, if you're a regular and like usually at the launch, there's some new people there,
mm-hmm.
and we got to get them encouraged to join Arcade and submit their score. Not only just play the game, but to have their score go in and be a part of it.
I think with some people, there's a level of like embarrassment. They're like, they see someone else's score on the board of 2 million and they have 200,000. They're like, this guy's blowing my score away. And they're like, they don't want to see it compared to someone else.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think that's an issue with some people, but if you look at scores that way, I think it's a dangerous thing. Like, there's always going to be someone better than you. So
sure,
you can look at it that way, but it's not a positive way to look at it.
Well, there's a lot of there's players like Tim Foley that it's like he's put up some great scores, but it's not about having the world record. It's like he competes against his own scores, and he likes to ladder jump on whatever place he's in. If he goes up a step, he's happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually talking about doing a newcomers tournament on Arcade. So hopefully we'll hear more from him, and it'd be great to see him run something like that. Another great thing, going back over to mentioning Pixel Blast, like, you look at when Underground Retrocade opened up, and look at how many, like, Jamie Tibbetts, he was like originally a Retrocade guy, yeah. And Jason Latko, and
Masis too, right?
Masis, I think, was originally here.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
I think originally.
Before my time, then.
And then I think he was going to Underground more. It's,
oh, because he lived out that way.
Right, now it's definitely closer. But,
right.
I know, like, Matt Rocco is close to Pixel Blast, so maybe he'll start the scoring trend out there, and or it'll be some newcomer. Who knows? But that's with more arcades opening up. As long as they're tracking scores, it'll impact us over here. You know, those players are gonna eventually come.
Yeah.
So it'll be good. It'll be good.
Yeah, I think the one thing is that people get so self-conscious about it.
Absolutely.
And it's a natural reaction, I think. You know, players only want to put up a score that makes them look good.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But you know, if you can get over that hurdle, I mean, I've put up some real stinkers. I think I've put up 20,000 in Centipede. Like, it there's just games I'm not good at, you know. But and I accept that. You know, I think that's a part of, you know, if I want to get better now, I know where to start.
Right. If you can set it, if you can look at them as benchmarks for your progress,
mm-hmm.
like if it's a game that you like and you're going to play it again,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't you want to
improve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have. You don't have to compete against the best in the world to have fun doing it.
No, you can just up your score, and that's what Arcade's for also. Like, you'll know where you were last time, so you can try to beat it next time.
Absolutely.
Cool. Hassan Razvi, he's a friend of mine from a long time ago, asks, is Doc a fan of Pit Fighter?
Yes, I am.
it's a cool question.
I played it a bit in the arcade back in the day.
It's on Sega Genesis, too.
I played a lot of it on Sega Genesis, and it gets talked down about quite often. But
it's one of the first digitized games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
going to have its things.
Sure.
Every time I look at it, I want to play it more. But one of the actors, the guy that played Southside Jim, still lives in the area.
Really?
I've heard, yeah. I've heard from this gentleman asking the question.
That would be cool to have him come out.
Yeah, well, that's awesome to see.
I had reached out to, there's a gentleman on listing an arcade a Lethal Enforcers cabinet on Craigslist,
mm-hmm.
who said that he was the guy on the side art.
Really?
Of Lethal Enforcers.
The guy with the sunglasses? Or the cop?
The cop.
There's a cop and the guy with the sunglasses and the girl, right? There's like three people.
I think there's only two.
Oh, that's the Marquis. The Marquis is the
Marquis
guy.
Is the, yeah,
sunglasses
yeah.
guy, yeah.
This is the guy on the side.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I invited him out to the arcade, but I have not heard back yet, unfortunately.
That'd be cool. I mean, I don't know if we have a way to verify that, but it'd be cool.
Well, if it's him,
we'll be able to tell, I guess. We can look, yeah.
That'd be really cool. The MK guys is really, and the creators that we get in here are, but how cool would it be? How happy would you be if we got the Contra guys in?
If we get those the Michael B. lookalike from the Super Contra arcade cabinet, I want his autograph, whatever his name is.
How cool would that be?
That would be cool.
Just even to take a picture with him
if he
by
could
the
do his
cabinet.
Pose, then I could stand by the cabinet doing a pose. Yeah, that'd be good. I would do it.
Well,
yeah. We got to track him down. We have one last question from Steven Lucas. What all is involved in setting up and executing a tournament? It's not as simple as writing down scores and taking names. He's asking for someone who I made a suggestion of holding a tournament as a fundraiser for his arcade to help pay for expansion. I don't know, tournaments, there's a lot to them. They're simple in concept, but they take a lot of follow-through.
For sure.
Yeah.
Tournaments are... It is just like we were talking about. Tournaments here, we've had some that have lower turnouts. And it is just sometimes the intimidation factor. So reaching those more casual players and people who are...
I was really happy. Speaking of turnout, I was happy with our Shmups tournament.
It was a great turnout. It was a great turnout.
14 people.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, yeah.
That's very good. That's very good. There, you know, honestly, though, I would have liked to see some of the regulars in there. Mm-hmm. I would have thought there would have been more regulars.
Yeah, we had, so there was three or four guys from the Shmups Forum. Mm-hmm. There were some regulars. There was a few new people, but yeah, I thought it was a little light on our core group of regulars.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of weird.
But, and... stuff goes on, but
life goes on. Yeah, you gotta take care of life first. But
yeah, but with tournaments, you have to there's a lot of rules and settings, and for us here, we always have to vet out and make sure that the machines are going to be functioning optimally, and try to jump ahead of any problems that might be.
Yeah, the one big thing to look in advance is scoring issues, how to track the scores if you're going to be in a tournament.
For sure,
that's if you don't want to upset the players in the tournament, you don't want to have any disputes. This guy used a second credit, this last Shmup tournament, I purposely chose games where the score was it was there, you stayed on the screen, and if you did add another credit, it didn't add more to your score. It's really important to be sure you know what you're getting into with, the way the scoring works.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, other than that, it's Orcade organizes a lot of it for us, so that's why using Orcade is good.
Absolutely.
Once you enter the score, it keeps track of it, and it keeps track of separate entries, so if someone has a higher score from outside the tournament, that's still going to be viewable, but we can still see the tournament score.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's a lot that goes into it, but it's just planning and following through.
Sure.
And I think that's all we had for Facebook questions.
Oh, very cool. Thanks, everybody, for submitting your questions. Definitely, as always, feel free to ask us anything, and we're happy to cover it and discuss it and let us know what you want to hear us talk about.
Yep.
So, you have any other things you want to discuss, Pete?
No, not really. We have to do the what are you playing?
Yeah, I was just about to ask. What will you be playing?
I noticed the monitor is working again on Fighter's History Dynamite. So I might play that again.
Huge shout outs as always to Seth for doing all that he does. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to it's a massive undertaking. Mm-hmm. So shout outs to Seth. That monitor, yes, is looking very nice now.
So I might play that. I might play some more hyper fighting. I don't know. I'm kind of in this limbo of where I'm going to be moving in the next couple of weeks. Like all my stuff's packed up, so I'm not having a lot of free time to like practice games out of here. But I'm working on games where the fighting games where you don't really practice them. You just have to execute when you play them.
Yeah.
So that's just the hyper fighting and the fighter's history. I don't know. I might take another try at Nemesis at some point since people are nipping at my heels, if not gonna pass me soon.
Yeah.
What about you?
I've been kind of all over lately.
I saw you playing Turkey Shoot earlier.
I was playing Turkey Shoot. I've been playing Arena. I've played some Cyvern. I got a game of Sinistar in.
What a hard game.
Yeah, it is. I played some Judge Dredd. Played some Operation Wolf. I've been playing Bubbles a little bit more regularly. Nothing that I'm really focusing on score for right this second.
You're not
second.
Going for any records right now?
No. Okay. Just kind of jumping around.
Okay.
I'm hoping to get a game of Third Strike in today again, but
cool.
I don't know. Just all over the place.
Played you know why I call it Third Strike, right? Because it's third after Grandmaster Challenge and Hyper Fighting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You can think that.
All right.
Well, I guess that just about wraps it up on that note. So,
cool. Well, let us know what you thought. If you have any questions for next time, you know, post them up in our Galloping Ghost Productions Facebook group.
Yeah. Yeah. So, thanks everybody for listening for our Game of the Year, Pete Hahn.
Yes.
This is Doc Mac, and we will hope to see you around the arcade soon. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Take care, everyone.
That's it.